There are the diversity of activities, and it is the same God who works all in all. But manifestation of gift of the Spirit is given to each one for what? Profit of all. In other words, we receive the Holy Spirit gift to profit everyone. Not for me to show off what kind of spiritual gift I have. And eventually it's for the glory of God. That's why it is important for us to understand what the spiritual gift, how we should exercise it, and how it should work. Let's go down to verse 8. Before we go there, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, our hearts open, our minds open to receive your word. As we prepare to study the gift of wisdom, literally, we are asking you to give us wisdom to understand. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of the Spirit, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. From now on, each time we do the afterglow, we are going to go through each spiritual gift, so we can understand it, we can define it more carefully, and we can go into a more in-depth study. Tonight, we are going to study the wisdom, the gift of wisdom. We often think the gift of wisdom, what would that be? Just being so smart or would know everything, and all of a sudden, I'm stupid, and the gift of wisdom I get, and now I'm the smartest guy in the world? No, that's not what it meant. Webster's dictionary defines wisdom as the ability to discern or judge what is true, right, or lasting insight. That's a good definition. However, there's a better definition. I stole it from somebody because it's so good. But I had to add one more phrase. I like this one better. If you want to jot it down, write it down, please. Wisdom is a God-given ability. Wisdom is the God-given ability to see life with a rare objectivity and to handle life with a rare stability according to God's word. Isn't that good? I'll repeat it so you can write it down. Wisdom is the God-given ability to see life with rare objectivity and to handle life with a rare stability according to the Word of God. In other words, when we receive wisdom from God, we can handle our lives with the way God sees, with the stability God has, according to God's way. That means we are not going to handle the situation according to our intelligence, according to our knowledge, but we are going to use the wisdom coming from God according to God's way. Can intelligence, can knowledge be wisdom? Can it be? Not quite. Intelligence and knowledge is just accumulated information. It cannot be completely wisdom. However, wisdom can be knowledge, it can be with intelligence. What I'm saying is, wisdom has a broader and a bigger umbrella than knowledge and intelligence. Let's make a few examples. Genesis chapter 41, please. Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. Bless you. Verse 38 is one we are going to read. However, before we go there, I have to give you a quick background. Joseph has been sold to Egypt by Ishmaelite caravan, the merchant, slave traders. And he was sold to Mr. Potiphar, who is the captain of the guard. And he was there as a slave for quite some time until he got the false attempt rape charge by Mrs. Potiphar. And stuck in the prison, he's been doing time last few years. And he had the chance to interpret the baker and the cupbearer's dream. Turned out to be exactly true. And the cupbearers got the position back, and the baker's head was off his shoulder. 2 years passed. At that, the Pharaoh had a dream, two dreams, as a matter of fact, back to back. First one, and the sequel to come along. And he realized that this is something nobody can interpret. And the cupbearer scratched his head, oh yeah, I forgot. Bad thing. But he forgot his buddy from his jailbird buddy, Joseph. This is where Joseph was brought from literally rag to rich. One moment he was in dungeon, next moment he was in royal court, facing the king of Egypt, his most powerful man at that time. And he explained, interpreted the dream, and it was true. So this is what the Pharaoh says in verse 38. And Pharaoh said to his servant, can we find such one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Can we find such a man as this, a man in whom is such Spirit of God? All right. Pharaoh realized interpretation came from God himself, not from man. See, that's the main thing when we use the gift of the Holy Spirit. People should see Jesus. People should notice God, not us. If they start to use, for example, speaking in tongue, if they abuse it, we see it as a carnal nature, trying to show off what they have. However, if this is done correctly, speaking in tongue followed by interpretation of tongue, and we get the fine. And prophecy that's done correctly, we judge it according to God's word, and we receive. Then we get edified. And we just read of miracles and healing and faith. All of that, when we see the result of the Holy Spirit's gift, we should be edified, and then same time we give glory to God. Important thing about the gift of wisdom is done correctly and people will notice it's God. Let's do one more thing. 1 Kings chapter 3, please. 1 Kings chapter 3. This is right after Solomon became a king. And now he is spending the night at the Gibeon. And he is finding out this unique incident and face-to-face meeting with the God himself. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5 through 12. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon. Are you there? 1 Kings chapter 3? 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5 through 12. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in the dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? How would you like the God to come to you with a blank check? I would. Oh yeah? Let me have. Can I have more? But being a wise man, Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out and or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an underlined understanding heart, to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? The speech pleased the Lord. Underline speech pleased the Lord. Solomon had asked these things, and then God said to him, because you have asked these things, have not asked the long life for yourself, nor asked the rich for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked you for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall any like you arise after you. All right, I ask you to underline a couple of things. Number one, before we go there, I must explain to you a little bit. King David expanded his kingdom very big. From the Euphrates River to the east and all the way to the west, the border of the Egypt. It's a vast kingdom. Yet, get this, guys, though, that's only a small portion of the promised land God designated for Israel. Did you know that? The promised land God designated for them from the beginning is much, much bigger, far bigger than the King David had. King David had a bigger land for Israel than any other king, until now. Well, as a matter of fact, they have a very sliver of a nation. How often we miss out God's blessing because we are disobedient. That's what they did. They were disobedient, so they didn't receive blessing from God. This time, Solomon received this vast kingdom to do what is right in the sight of God, and he needed wisdom. I ask you to underline the understanding heart. When you look at it in the Hebrew word, it's actually, instead of understanding heart, it says hearing. Did you hear me? Hearing. What's the hearing got to do with understanding? Two things. Number one, I'm sure you saw, a lot of you guys had a counseling other people. If you've been in the Lord quite some time, some people come to you. What do I do in this situation? And you counsel them. Being a parent, majority of you, I'm sure all of you, majority at least, are parents. That means you counsel your children. Do this, and you will survive. You will live another day. Now, some of you understand what I'm talking about. When we give a counseling, the most important thing is what? Listening. Right? How can we give them counseling when we don't listen? So where does wisdom start? Listening. Understanding. Understanding heart. Hearing heart. Listening heart. Does it stop there? No, it doesn't. We need more than just hearing or understanding or listening other people to understand the situation. It takes more than that. We got to have something to fill our well before we give that living water to somebody else. What would that be? Hearing from who? God. How are we going to hear from God? The Word. Psalm 119 says, I put your word in my heart, so may I not sin against you. We put our word, the word of God, in our heart. Remember, I challenged you guys to memorize the verses. I did that yesterday, today, and I did that again. I forget. Remember, I told you I forgot a lot of things. But what do? I go back, repeat like a cow, meditate on it. That's the only way. There's no such a thing that you stick some pin in the back of your head, and you all of a sudden you have an entire Bible in your head. No. You repeat it in your heart. That's how we get wisdom. All right, gift of wisdom will manifest through the Word of God we learn. Is that the only occasion when we counsel? No. I'm told many times, not just me and many other preachers, many Bible teachers, while I speak, and some people get convicted. Some people don't like the things I say, and they literally walk away, or they leave and don't come back. Why? Gift of wisdom, without me knowing, I speak forth. And they get convicted, and they have to deal with it. They have to make a decision. The wisdom of a gift of wisdom comes to us when we are willing to be used by God. And He will give it to us when the time is right. It's not something we can demand to Him. We can ask for. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 5, please. James chapter 1, verse 5. James is right after the Hebrews. Right before 1 Peter. James chapter 1, verse 5. James. Or Jimmy. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, it will be given to him. This is, in my opinion, a gift of wisdom as a mandatory for those who want to get involved with the gift of teaching ministry or counseling ministry. If you want to be a counselor in our church, ask God to give you the gift of wisdom. He'll give it to you if He desires so. It is very important for you to understand what's going on. And to do that, you have to have a word in your heart. So let's go back to the concept. How we're going to have a gift of wisdom? What is the good start of the gift of wisdom? Getting into the Word. Once we get into the Word, God will use that to give us extra measure of wisdom.